reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 18 and commencing at verse 21. Matthew 18, commencing at verse 21. Then Peter came to him and said to him, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, 'Pay what you owe.' Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Owen. Well, today we're continuing our series on Jesus' parables, and if you were here last week, you may recall that that Mark spoke of the lost parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin. And he reminded us that Jesus' parables were often stories grossly exaggerated as a way of getting people's attention so that he could teach them more about something about the kingdom of God. And they often carried a sting in the tale for the listener. Well, today's parable about the unforgiving servant in Matthew chapter 18 is in response to Peter's question, verse 21, "Lord, if a member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" he asks, perhaps somewhat hopefully. That sounds a pretty reasonable number, in a way. But Jesus says, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 70 times seven." Can anyone here remember forgiving someone 490 times? Perhaps you may remember 5 times or 10 times or forgiving someone 15 or 20, but I think by the time you got to about 30, you may have stopped counting. So Jesus is saying really the number of times to forgive is infinite. You just keep on forgiving. He then tells the story of a king going through his accounts. Perhaps it was the end of the financial year and he's tallying his balance books. And wow, he discovers that a slave or servant in some translations owes him one mega debt. One might say even of Greek proportions. This man owes the king 10,000 talents. And to give you an idea of just one talent, it's worth about 20 years worth of your complete wages. And he owes 10,000 times, which would take him 200,000 years to completely repay it. It's about $8 billion in today's currency, an astronomic debt. And you'd really have to wonder about the king, how he'd let someone accrue such an enormous debt. Well, as to the lifestyle of the slave, I mean, how could he have spent such an enormous amount of money without the benefit of internet shopping and a platinum credit card? Beyond my reasoning. So repaying the debt was out of the question, so this king orders the slave, his wife, children and possessions to be sold. Is it remotely possible that the proceeds from the sale of a dishonest servant, together with his family and possessions, could make any sort of dent in the debt of 200,000 years' worth of wages? No chance. But unlike a creditor you or I might meet, or a banker, we're told that in response to the man's pleas, the king said, "I release you and you can go. Your debt is forgiven." An extraordinarily generous action. Too good to be true, you may say. But the parable continues with the incredible situation where the released and relieved slave bumps into a fellow slave who owes him 100 denarii. He grabs him by the throat and demands repayment, and the besieged slave pleads, "Please have a bit of mercy, give me some time, be patient with me, please." But no, into the prison he gets thrown. One denarii is worth one day's work. Hence the huge, huge difference here between the two debts of both slaves. The first one, 200,000 years' worth of wages. The second one, about 3 months' worth of wages. So this is a story of fantastical proportions, and this enormous, impossibly enormous debt accrued by the slave in the first place, followed by the complete cancellation by the king, is then followed by a complete refusal to forgive the comparatively minor debt. Jesus concludes the parable saying, "And in anger his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from the heart." The parable points to the infinite debt we owe to God for our forgiveness that was bought for us by Jesus' death on the cross. And it's one that we can never, ever, ever repay. But in response to this forgiveness, we are called to forgive one another, as Jesus says. The problem with the first slave is that he didn't get it. He just didn't seem to understand what's so obvious in the parable. Didn't recognise it, just how much he'd been forgiven and how so comparatively little he was being asked to forgive. And a point to remember in this, or considering this parable, is that whilst the king displayed godly behaviour by acting mercifully and forgiving the slave, Jesus doesn't intend us to push the parable too far to equate the king's actions with God's, because clearly God's not going to sell someone's wife or children for a debt that's owed. In answer to Peter's question, Jesus says, "Forgive. It's not about how many times, but whatever is done to Peter or any of us is so small in comparison to the debt of forgiveness that we owe to God." And Jesus links how we treat others and how God treats us, because there are consequences if we don't forgive and blessings when we do. Jesus says in Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, "Whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your heavenly Father may also forgive your sins." Note the direct link between forgiving others and receiving forgiveness from God. And the Lord's Prayer has a similar link: "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." Withholding forgiveness means blocking the blessings and resources God has provided for us. I read where the great evangelist John Wesley met a famous military leader when he was on mission in the United States, and this man had a reputation as being somewhat hard-hearted and quite brutal. And he boasted, "I never forgive." To which Wesley replied, "Then, sir, I hope you never sin." By refusing to forgive someone, our prayers become blocked because our relationship with God is hindered. It's polluted by the resentment we're holding in our hearts. And just as our main arteries can get grossly clogged with fatty acids or fatty deposits which jeopardise our physical health, so too our relationship with God gets seriously clogged with resentment and hardness of heart caused by an unforgiving spirit. And this in turn leaves open the door for Satan to enter into our lives. Paul warns the Ephesians, saying, "Be angry but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil." Forgiving means we don't allow room for the devil to enter into our lives. Instead, we shut the door in his face, barring his entry. And there are reasons why people hold on to resentment and bitterness. Sometimes it's because they're waiting for an apology, for someone to admit that they've done wrong. They're wanting them to come and apologise to them. However, the problem with that is it may never happen. That person may never, ever come and say they're sorry. And if you link forgiveness based on the other person's apology, it means you're still bound to that person by the chains of bitterness. You've made your forgiveness conditional to their apology, which means they continue to hold the power of your release in their hands. Jesus calls us to a life of freedom from the chains of bondage, release from the captivity of spiritual imprisonment by enabling us, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to forgive our enemy from the heart. Forgiveness doesn't mean you're condoning their action. It doesn't mean you're excusing it, and nor are you pretending it didn't happen as if you've had some case of cerebral amnesia. Instead, you're making a choice to release the person from your judgment and entrusting that person to God instead. Forgiving another doesn't mean that sin doesn't matter, nor does it mean that you're called to be a doormat accepting another person's repeated sinful, rebellious and/or abusive behaviour. In the verses preceding today's reading in Matthew 18, Jesus teaches us how to deal with people who continue to in their sin. Another common reason people withhold forgiveness is because they feel the person doesn't really deserve to be forgiven. However, we're standing on very thin ice if that's the case, because there is anyone who has never sinned against God. With the bar set so high, the only sinless person to ever have walked the earth, of course, is Jesus Christ. And like the servant in the parable, we owe God a debt that can never, ever be repaid. He has extravagantly forgiven us, as undeserving of that forgiveness as we are. Jesus paid the price for our sin, and we receive forgiveness only through his atoning death on the cross. Scripture backs this up by saying that whilst we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. In ourselves, we are not able to truly and fully forgive others, but in Christ we can, just as God in Christ has forgiven us. Well, following Jesus' example of forgiveness on the cross, where he said to those who were crucifying him, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do," we've seen some encouraging examples of Christians forgiving others reported in the media recently. You may recall several weeks ago when the gunman shot and killed those 9 members of the Bible study in a church in Charleston in the US. Forgiveness was a very noticeable immediate response from the pastor and others of the community congregating around just prior to the shooting, And later in court, one of the family members said to the killer, "You took something very precious from me. Nevertheless, I forgive you." A week or so earlier, here in Australia, a man was found guilty of killing his girlfriend. When interviewed outside of the court, the deceased girl's mother said, "The death of my daughter will remain with me for the rest of my life. But I forgive that man because I believe in a forgiving God." If you withhold forgiveness from others, God will withhold forgiveness from you. But sometimes people say, "Well, I can forgive many things and many people, but I just can't forgive this person. It's just asking too much." These are the times when the hurt is so deep and the pain is so raw. But you know, God never asks us to do something that he doesn't enable us to be able to do it. In our own strength, we cannot forgive those who've hurt us so deeply. But it is possible when we open ourselves to Jesus' healing touch, when we seek him and invite him to come into our lives, into help us in our time of need, to wipe away our tears and pour the oil of healing into our bruised and battered hearts. That's why Scripture says Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. That's what he's longing to do for each and every brokenhearted person here today. For all of those still holding some unforgiving attitude in their hearts. He's here to enable us to forgive those we've been unable to forgive and to release ourselves from the bondage of an unforgiving heart and mind and to receive the abundant blessings that will follow from God. So for conclusion, I'd just like to take a moment to ask you to just sit quietly and just invite Jesus to just put into your heart, put into your mind some area of unforgiveness in your own life right now. Maybe somebody from a long time ago, or perhaps more recent. I'm going to invite you to stand and we'll say a prayer. I will pray, and if you would all like to just stand and pray along with me, if you're happy to do that. It's going to be a prayer where we're going to get rid of this unforgiveness once and for all, and it's going to follow the lines of repenting for our sin, for renouncing carrying of the anger, of breaking those ties that have been holding into our heart, and then for restoration. So if you're happy to do that, please invite you to stand and we'll pray. Heavenly Father, I repent of my unforgiveness towards others. I repent for holding anger, resentment, and bitterness in my heart toward those who've hurt me. I repent for holding them in my judgment and for not wanting to see them punished, and for wanting to see them punished. I repent for all word curses I have spoken against them. Father, I repent for my disobedience towards you because of my unwillingness to forgive. I also repent for all unforgiveness, resentment, and bitterness in the generations of the family before me. And I'm reminded that it might be ourselves that we need to ask for forgiveness and to forgive. And I renounce all for unforgiveness. I renounce all anger, bitterness, and resentment. I renounce my judgment on others or myself and desire for revenge. I renounce the curses I have spoken, and every spirit of anger, resentment, bitterness, and unforgiveness, and the places that I've made for these in my life. And now, in the name of Jesus Christ and by his atoning blood on the cross, I break the hold of these spirits in my life. I break any and all covenants and agreements I've made with them. I break all soul ties, all generation ties, and connections to unforgiveness, to anger, resentment, and bitterness. I cancel and break all word curses I've spoken in judgment against those who've hurt me. And I break all vows and covenants with anger and unforgiveness. Lord, I choose to be a forgiving person. It is my will to honour you, to be obedient to your word and to forgive others just as you have forgiven me. Thank you for showing me the truth today. Thank you that you have provided me a way to really forgive. I choose now, through Christ, to forgive all those who have ever hurt me. I choose now to let go of my anger and unforgiveness and release them from my judgment, Lord, and I give them into your hands. And you may find it helpful to actually just say the word quietly into your own hands and just then put your hands up ahead, hand them to God in physical way of doing it, in that symbolic action. And Lord God, I just thank you for forgiveness and thank you that you pour out abundant blessings on all who have forgiven others. And I pray for every person here today, every person who has given up the right to judge and to hold anger and resentment against another and who have submitted to forgiving that person and handing them to you, Lord God. We pray that you will fill them from the tops of their toes, tops of their heads to the bottoms of their toes with blessings. Pour out your Holy Spirit and fill them deeply with your love, with your peace, with your joy, overflowing in abundance. We thank you, Lord God, for this. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. And just a reminder to let you know that during communion, there will be a time, if anyone would still like to see one of the members of the prayer team and just go a little bit further with that prayer, those prayers today. Thank you. Amen.
Thanks, Carol.